Let me start by telling you a little bit about Chad. When Chad was at school, a teenager, he had a really high IQ. And he also loved sport and was really good at sport. High IQ and brilliant at sport. Consequently, it seemed like he had the world at his feet. He grew up in a small town and was frequently in the local paper. The people there around the town would put him up on a pedestal as the sort of shining light amongst the youth and teenagers in the town. But it was a different scenario for Chad when he went home. His parents were always arguing about money. They were struggling financially. They were struggling to keep a roof over their heads and to put food on the table. And Chad's father was abusive to his mum. There was a time when Chad was about 8 years old and things were pretty out of control, when his father threatened that he was going to shoot them all. Now, he didn't do anything and none of them got shot, but it was a pretty traumatic event and a typical pattern. His dad would get angry, get out of control, there'd be threats and physical violence. It's understandable then that when Chad was about 16 years old, he attempted suicide. He put it this way as he looked back on it some years later. He said, "I was a small town boy who'd been put on a pedestal. It went to my head, and I was alone. On the outside, you wear the mask of all is well. But on the inside, you're being torn apart. That was me." I wonder if that's ever been you. You've ever felt like on the outside, you're putting on the mask that all is well, but on the inside, you're feeling torn apart. I wonder if that's you right now. I wonder if you know people who are in that situation, maybe people you go to school with, relatives of yours, someone in your family, a person who you work with. I wonder if you know somebody like that. Tonight, we're continuing our series, This Changes Everything. We're up to week 4, Our Choices. And I'm wanting to ask you to make one particular choice tonight before any other choices. Before you choose who you are or what you're going to do, would you make the choice that whatever the circumstances that you're in, that you will be a child of God? Will you choose to be a child of God first before you make these other choices about who you are or what you're going to do? We all find ourselves sitting or standing in this present moment in our lives. We can all look back, and as we do, we see choices that we've made. Some have been good choices, and some have been poor. We can look ahead with different ideas of what our future might look like. And we know that some of the choices we'll make in the future will be good choices. But if we're also honest with ourselves, we know that in the future we will also again make some poor choices. And we find ourselves in the present, looking back looking forward with choices that we have to make today. Again, some good choices that we can make, but also knowing that we may end up making some poor choices. Now, some poor choices are pretty obvious. We've got a photo here that we're going to put up now of a poor choice made on Friday night when Alistair Clarkson, the coach of the Hawthorn Football Club, at a game in Canberra where it was snowing, ran around in only a pair of shorts. Who thinks that's a poor choice? Anyone think it's a good choice? Okay, just a few people. That's okay. Well, it was a good choice. We won the game. But anyway, that's an aside. I've been inspired by this choice. I've been inspired, and I'm announcing now that next Sunday, I will preach only wearing a pair of shorts. And if you would like to hear me preach, you can. You will have to go to the Gold Coast, though, because that's where I'm going to be on holidays. Okay? But you will have an opportunity next Sunday at the Gold Coast to hear me preach wearing only a pair of shorts. That's a commitment that I'm making to you now. So that'll be a bit of fun. Holidays start on Friday. As you can see, I'm already in the holiday mood. Around this issue of choices, though, two key questions are, how do we deal with our poor choices? How do we deal with poor choices? And how can we make better choices? Those are two key issues, aren't they? And they stay with us as a challenge. The Bible talks about these things. It uses slightly different language, but it's talking about the same thing. It says in the Bible that there is no one who does not sin. There's no one who doesn't make poor choices. Paul goes on in Romans and says, there's actually no difference between us all when it comes to this. All have sinned, all have made poor choices, and all continue to fall short of the glory of God. All continue to make poor choices. Sometimes it's obvious for us in the little things. In the book This Changes Everything, Jaquel Crow told this simple little story, a daily sort of story that could apply to many of us here. She was scrolling through her social media pages, and she was seeing the pictures and reading the statuses and skimming through the tweets. And slowly found herself saying things like, I would never post that. I would never retweet that. I'd never laugh at that video. Oh, I'd never share that song. What's wrong with them? And then it hit her. What's wrong with me? This self-righteousness puffed me up with pride, hardened my heart, had me pointing my finger at everyone else's problems instead of dealing with my own poor choices. The Apostle Paul, I think, says it the best in Romans chapter 7. He says this. He says, I do not understand what I do. Anyone else ever felt like that? I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, I do. I have a desire to do what's good, but I don't carry it out. And I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Although I want to do good, evil, poor choices are right there with me all the time. 24/7. Five things tonight that we can learn about choices. And tonight, all start with C. Anyone here ever seen Sesame Street? Sesame Street. You know, Sesame Street sometimes ended to say, you know, today's episode of Sesame Street was proudly brought to you by the letter T. Anyone ever remember that? Yeah, well, tonight's episode, tonight's message is proudly brought to you by the letter C. We've already had Chad. We're talking about choices. Alistair Clarkson got a mention. And now we're going to have five C's about choices. First one is no condemnation. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Chad could easily have got stuck in this tremendous sense of failure, blaming himself. After those incidents in his teen and school years, when he left school, this is how he described the next few years. He said, I thought money was the answer. I thought it could fix things. You see, my parents had this tenuous relationship with each other, predominantly due to my father's violent outbursts and their financial strain. So from early on, I figured that the way to make things better was to make money. Making money meant less stress, which meant less abuse. And that seemed like a simple equation to me. Money fixes everything. So he left school and he went into business, and he was a millionaire by the time he was 21 years old. He made a lot of money. He felt rich, and he described himself as feeling a bit like he was the kid who knew it all, who could do no wrong. But then, as almost always happens in these stories, there was a radical reversal. It didn't take him long to get into trouble. The owner of the larger business decided to change the business model. He cut the middle people out of the model, and overnight, people like Chad went out of business. There was no way for him to recover. He lost everything. He went bankrupt. Stories like that could lead a person feeling with a tremendous sense of condemnation or failure or blame around their own lives. But Paul tells us that there is now no condemnation for anyone who is in a close relationship with Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And two questions I want to ask tonight around this whole idea of no condemnation is, have you accepted God's forgiveness for you? Have you accepted God's forgiveness? And then the other side of that coin, have you forgiven yourself? Have you forgiven yourself? Jaquel Crowe, when she talks about this, she says, hey, there's things in life where we mess up, we do wrong, we sin against God, and of course that's serious. But when our sin has been dealt with, we are irrevocably forgiven and no longer have to feel lasting guilt. Irrevocably forgiven and no longer have to feel guilt. Second C is clarity. Scripture is a key to clarity. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I think today, the writer to Hebrews was writing today, he might talk about a surgeon's scalpel. It's sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The single best example I know of this is the example of Jesus himself, when after he was baptized, spent 40 days in the wilderness, and during that time he experienced temptation. He had choices to make. And he was offered the possibility of making some choices that certainly would, I guess in the immediate, look pretty attractive. But they would be poor choices. Or he could make some other choices which weren't quite as immediately beneficial or rewarding for him. But they would be good choices. And on each occasion, he got clarity from the scriptures. It is written, don't live on bread alone, but on the word of God. Don't put God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, I need my volunteers now. Three volunteers up here on the stage, please. Three volunteers. First three, just wander on up. Yep, a couple there. You've got three hands, but I'll just take two of you. So whichever two can come up. First one up, you get the mirror. Woo-hoo. Yeah, if you want to stand just over there. You get these two things somewhere in the middle there, mate.
Okay.
That's great. You get this one. It's okay. It's nothing terribly scary or whatever. But in the book, This Changes Everything, there's a reference to Scripture serving like three different functions. Scripture is sometimes like a mirror. Do you want to use the mirror? Have a good look. Anything you need to straighten up there, maybe?
I need to start losing hair again.
Okay. It's simply a mirror that reflects who we really are, revealing our true identity, reminding us of who we really are. We've got choices to make. One of the things that Scripture helps us is to remind us about who we are. Now, I couldn't get a magnifying glass, so I got glasses that magnify, though. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Do you want to try them on?
Okay. Have a look.
Oh, magnificent. That's you. Can you read anything with them?
Really closely.
Really closely. Do they make things bigger or smaller?
Bigger.
Bigger. That's what we want. Thank you very much. Hey, it's like a magnifying glass, which allows us to make things bigger before us, the decisions that we're making, the attitudes and motives of our own heart become larger and clearer before us. And you've got a map.
Yeah.
Do you even know how to use a map like that these days? Because
yeah.
You would jump on your phone, wouldn't you?
Or
on your iPad.
I've got memories of about 10 years ago.
So okay, well, let's just have a little bit of a look, see if you can find your way around the map a little bit. Yeah, any idea where that is?
Yeah, that's the city.
That's the city. Melbourne City. Fantastic. Again, a scripture is a little bit like a map. It helps us find our way from where we are to where we're going. It tells us or helps us when we get a little bit lost or when we feel like we don't know the right way. Which is the right way from here to there? It's a mirror. It's a magnifying glass, and it's a map. Can we put our hands together for these fine gentlemen, please? Third C, company. Paul says to Timothy, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Make good choices. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't do that by yourselves. Do it with others, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When Chad was 16 and battling depression, he said this about that experience. He says, I was alone. I was alone. I think when you feel alone, you make bad decisions, you act poorly, and you lead an unhealthy life. It's a critical issue, isn't it, being alone? And so many people today can be alone when they're in a crowd. Isn't that true? You can be very alone in a class at school or in the playground at school at lunchtime. You can be pretty alone in the office where you work. You can be pretty alone with all those students out on the uni campus. You can be pretty alone even in the extended family that you're part of at times. He says this. He says, when you feel alone, you can make bad decisions. And that's where he makes this comment about on the outside, you wear the mask of all is well. But on the inside, you're being torn apart. For Chad, two turning points, both involved company, connecting with others. The first, of course, was when he met the pretty young girl. It's how us guys, it always happens for us guys, isn't it? It's the pretty young girl. That's the turning point. At that time, he had nothing. He'd lost it all. And he had this understanding, though, this is how he put it, that life was a simple equation. Money equals stuff. Stuff equals happiness. If he had money and he had stuff, he'd be popular. At this time, though, he had no money and no stuff. But this young lady who he just happened to meet somewhere called Beth, a Christian young lady, just reached out and offered him friendship. And he was taken by surprise. Why? Because he had just met a person who liked him when he had nothing at all. This is what he said about Beth and her church and the people in it. He said, they modelled to me who God is, what he's like, and how much he loves me. You know how the story ends. They started going out, fell in love, got married. The other turning point, though, was a few years later when they joined a weekly study group, a life group, a Bible study group in their church. And they got invited along, and Chad, like many guys, his initial response was, look, hey, I'm not good at small talk, and he felt pretty intimidated by it. But they went along. The group was studying relationships. They got really close to the other couples, and he made this observation about those relationships. He says, it's the long relationships that matter. It's the long relationships that matter. The fourth C is change. Repentance is the old-fashioned Bible word for change. We're told in Romans that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance, or to quite simply, to a change of mind or a change of direction for our lives. In Chad's story, this hit home most fully a few years later. He and Beth had married, they had some kids, and he found himself wrestling with, well, I'm a husband now, I've got kids, what do I do? How do I be a husband? How do I deal with kids? And remember, he grew up in a family where they struggled to make things meet, and his dad wasn't a good husband and wasn't a good father. And so this is what he said. He said, hey, I did what I always do. I started a new business. I thought, I'm a husband. I've got kids. I have to make money. If I make money, I'll make sure everyone is happy. A new business, that'll make things better. But it was a lot of hours. He worked like crazy. It was unbalanced and unhealthy. He didn't have time at all to invest in his relationship with God or with his wife or with his children. In the end, he became a wreck. He said this, a very interesting thing. He said, I still hadn't dealt with the broken pieces. I realised my bad habits, my poor choices were killing me. For him, the turning point was the realisation, and he put it this way, money is not the answer. Money is not the answer. What matters is my relationship with God. It's the only answer. The simplest thing I can be And the best thing I can be is to be a child of God. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever decisions you have to make about things to do or about who or what you're going to be, the best thing that you can be, before you do anything else, the best thing you can be, first of all, is to be a child of God. One last C to do with choices, confession. And this is going to lead us into a time of communion. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. If we just simply acknowledge we've made some poor choices. I'm wrestling with making a poor choice at the moment. I need some help. God is faithful and just and helps us deal with our poor choices. For Chad, the turning point around that happened just after he met Beth, when she invited him to join a team of people from her church who were working on a major project together to help some needy people in their community. The very first thing they did at the first meeting was all the people in the team got together and just spent a night to get to know one another. And as part of that, everyone was invited to introduce themselves by telling their stories. And as he listened to those stories and heard some of the choices that people had made, some good ones and some poor ones, and some of the tough times that people had been through and how God had been with them throughout all of those journeys, he found himself being deeply stirred. He said, God was stirring in me the whole time. I was being softened. By the time it was my turn, I was a wreck in the best possible sense of that. He says, I felt closer with these people than I'd ever felt with people before. And it was then that I made my decision. My decision that I was going to confess my sin, my poor choices, and commit my life to Christ as Lord and Saviour. Right then, with that group of people. Friends, we're going to have communion together now, and I invite you to come and join me at your convenience. Let's use this time of communion as an opportunity for confession. When we look at our lives, maybe there's some poor choices that we've made, and this is an opportunity for us to put those right. Maybe we've never before in our life taken a step of accepting Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And communion tonight is an opportunity for us to do that for the first time. Or maybe to renew a commitment that we made a little while ago. Or maybe to deepen our commitment to Christ as Lord, even though we've had that commitment for quite a long time in our lives. Let's use communion as a time of confession, a time to confess poor choices, and a time to confess Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Please come, join me in communion at the front or the back at your convenience. Thank you.